I want to ask a question today. Are you afraid? Ironically, this came out on 9/11 out of the Lexington Herald Leader. It said the Center for Disease Control and Prevention said that since March, 1 in 4 respondents in the last 30 days have considered suicide. Wow. 25% of those respondents said that they have tremendous fear. It was in 1932 that FDR said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And you know, all of us have some phobias and fears. Everybody in the room knows I don't like spiders. I really don't. I don't like snakes. I don't even like heights. You know, the older I get, the less I like heights. As a matter of fact, when I look up, I get dizzy. Okay? So I try to look straight ahead, you know, not look up very long. And we all have some of those phobias and fears that are just inbred in us. It's just part of our chemistry and part of our makeup. And there have been a lot of Bible characters who experienced some fear. I want you to think about for a minute Noah. Genesis 3, these three chapters. Don't you think when God told him what was going to happen and that there was going to be water and a flood and it's going to envelop and encompass the earth, don't you think for just a minute Noah said, what kind of boat? How big you want that ark? That water vessel is that big? Don't you think he probably had some fears? What about Abraham? When Abraham was told that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed, and we read Genesis 19:29, it says that God remembered Abraham because he was a righteous man. What about Moses? All of the ups and the downs and the hills and the valleys that the Israelites went through. Don't you think that Moses had some fear through some of that? What about Joshua? Here he is. He's going to take over for Moses, one of the greatest men who ever lived. Don't you think he had some fear and trepidation over taking the place of one of the greatest men who ever lived? Yes. What about David? I think about David so frequently when I think about fear. And there he came in front of that giant who was about 9'6". I mean, this was a big guy. And you know what David's thought was this? David's thought was this. That guy is so big, I can't miss him. I mean, think about that for a minute. He's so big that I'm going to pick up one of these smooth stones and boy, that slingshot, and I'm going to nail him right. And he did. But don't you think he had a little bit of fear and trepidation as he came out there? I mean, we could think about character after character after character in the scriptures that probably more than likely produced some fears in their life. I want you to take your Bible from Matthew 10 over to chapter 14. Let's look for a few minutes at Matthew 14, 22 to 33. We can't do justice to it in the point that I want to make here, some observations, but I do want to hit on some of the highlights. This is just after the feeding of the 5,000. You think Jesus was tired? Jesus was tired, he was weary, but immediately it says, after the feeding of the 5,000, he made his disciples get into the boat. Now this is very important terminology for you to remember. Get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he, Jesus, sent the multitudes of people away. Now why did Jesus send the multitudes of people away? The next verse tells us. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone. I think there's a side lesson there for all of us to sometimes get away from whatever is encompassing us and spend some alone time with God and just talk to God. Tell him what's going on in our lives. Tell him what's on our heart. Side note there. Now, remember the disciples are in the boat, verse 24. The boat was now in the middle of the sea. It was just out there a long way from shore. It was being tossed by the waves because the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was boisterous. All right? In the fourth watch of the night, very, very dark, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. saying, "It is a ghost." And the scripture says they cried out with fear, anxiety, scared, afraid. There's that word that we have seen so frequently in scripture lately, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, contrary, he was afraid, fearful. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." There it is again, 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You ever wonder if God says to us individually or maybe corporately as a church, "Why do you have such little faith?" Don't you know that these guys have been with Jesus day after day, night after night, time after time, week after week, month after month, even year after year? They'd spent time with Jesus. They had just seen him feed 5,000 people. And Jesus says, "Why do you doubt me?" And really, what kicks in here is what we refer to as the human element. Now I want you to picture this in your mind. Here is Peter, and he gets out of the boat. That's a, no pun intended, that's a pretty big step, all right? He gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk on the water. And you know what was going through his mind? The human element. I got this. No, I got this. And how frequently, how often do we find ourselves in that human element, instead of the faith element, in that human element, saying to God, "Hey, it's okay, God, I got this." And you know what happens? We sink. Like the Titanic, we go down. Because our doubts kick in, our little faith kicks in, and we get this human element, "I got this." When in reality, we don't. We're totally, completely reliant on God and Jesus. And so he goes on in this account to finish up by saying this. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to share with us this morning a couple of things that we really do need to fear. I mean, these are things that we need to fear. Number one, we need to fear the sin that we commit in our lives. We need to fear that. We need to be respectful of that. We need to understand that. We need to honor that, that the sins that we commit is something that we need to fear. It was the old prophet Isaiah who said, "Hey, the Lord's hand is not short and his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear." But watch this. Your sins and your iniquities have separated you and your God. What alienates us from God? What separates us from God? What keeps us from having a relationship with God that's second to none? It's the fact that we draw a line in the sand. And we say things we shouldn't say. And we do things we shouldn't do. And we go places we shouldn't go. And we fail to do some of the things that we need to be doing. That's what we need to fear. And that's the message Jesus was trying to convey in Matthew 10 and verse 28. Don't fear those who can kill the body. Oh no. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So we need to fear the sins that we commit. Number two, we need to fear the real enemy. There's not a moment that goes by in any of our lives when that enemy is constantly at work in our lives. Constant. It's continual. There's never a time to let your guard down. There's never a time, I think I can use this the way you'll understand it, when we can ever take our mask off. We have to constantly protect ourselves from the real enemy. Not the one that can kill the body, but the one that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Why? Because of 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be aware. Be alert. Because your adversary, your enemy, is walking around seeking whom he can destroy, who he can eat, who he can devour, who he can consume, who he can get to cuss and lie and cheat and steal, and the list is innumerable. That's what the enemy wants to do. And those are some real things that we need to fear in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with, because that would be a healthy type of fear that we need to think about. How do we overcome them? I want to give us three ways that we can overcome our fears, being afraid. Even since March, there are more people afraid today than ever before. Ever before. You know, there are some people who have never left their home since about March the 10th. They have everything brought into them, all of their groceries. If they have a medical appointment, they do it, telepath or telegraph or telesomething. They go through that process in medicine. They haven't left their home. Absolutely scared out of their minds. And the ironies is this. Somebody could bring it into them, even though they've never been out, and they can still get it. How do we overcome those fears? Number one, we have to learn and understand that our God is big. Take your Bible to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Let's begin in verse 1, because that's the key verse for us this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Did you hear that? Let me read it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because the psalmist understood God is big. I can remember I can remember in some of the other places where we were when we did children's songs and maybe VBS songs or camp songs, we would sing a song. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. What a lesson for a child to hear and have that seed planted in them, so when they grow up to be an adult, we can understand that there are some ways that we could turn it over to God and we don't have to fear that anymore. We don't have to be afraid of that any longer. When you go to the end of this chapter, I want you to look at verses 10 and 11. Be still or be content and know that I am God. There's that I am. There's deity. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I am the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be content, be still, know that I am God. Let's learn this morning, number one, that God is big. Number two, let's really learn to trust Him. I want to tell you something today. I don't care if this goes out over Facebook or YouTube. I don't care where it goes out. I'm going to say this anyway. I would not 100% totally put my trust in a physician. I appreciate their schooling. I appreciate their knowledge. I appreciate their wisdom. I appreciate their learning. But they're not God. Amen. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say, listen, because of your skill, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to take that medication and hope that it, takes care of me and makes me well. But first and foremost, I'm going to trust God to intervene. I'm going to trust God to use that skill of that person to give me exactly what I need in order to ward it off. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. Did you see how frequently the Solomon said, trust him? Put your faith in him? I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't been doing that since March, it's a losing battle. You got to trust God. He's big. He can handle it. And then number three, overcoming our fears. Here it is. Pray about everything. Not some things or a few things or most things. Pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing. Do not have fear. Do not have fear. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Watch this, verse 7, and the peace of God, because of what you've just done in verse 6, you prayed about everything, then the peace of God will guard or keep your hearts and minds through or in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you prayed about everything. Do we turn it over to him and pray about everything? Overcoming our fears. There are the big three that will help us to do that very thing. Now I want to close today by talking about two great struggles that we have to live with every day. And the first one is a whole nother message, and you know, we don't have time to talk about that one today. I wish we did, but maybe sometime in the future. Guilt is something that there are people in this room right now who say, you know what, I'm still haunted by something that's happened in the past in my life. And even though I've reached the blood of Jesus, I've been forgiven, I still like a ball in a chain, man, I'm carrying that around, and it's a weight. And guilt is something that we live with. David did. If you read Psalm 32, Psalm 51, read those two chapters in their entirety, David constantly dealt with the guilt of what he had done. But I want to talk about the second one because it relates to our message today. And that's this one. One of the greatest fears you and I face, specifically, is the fear of death. I mean, we do. And it's never been more in our psyche and our conscience or subconscious than in the past few months. When the media just pounds it in our head and pounds it in our head. You know, in Kentucky, we've lost over 1,000 people to the virus. They don't tell you how many people have been lost to cancer. Heart disease, which are the two leading causes of death in the state of Kentucky. But we fear death. And I want to talk about it by sharing with us about three scriptures. The first one is taking your Bibles back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And I certainly want you to know in no way am I minimizing what we're facing at all. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I want you to see what the writer said through the Holy Spirit. Inasmuch then as the children, Christians, have partaken of flesh and blood, that's, we're in the sarks, we're in the flesh, he himself, Jesus, shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release, that's the good news, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Did you know that we have been released from the fear of death? We've been released from that. Jesus released us from that fear. The second thing I want you to think about is in Psalm 116, verse 15. And I want you to notice the terminology that's used here. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Wow. That verse is worth coming at. That verse is worth getting up for and making the effort and walking in here today with everything else we've done in worship. But to hear that lesson on Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious, precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. You know why? God has called us home. That's why. And so we don't need to fear that. And then the third and final passage I want you to see is in Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 23. So take your Bibles back to Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 23. Notice what the great apostle says here in this passage. For to me, to live is Christ, comma. And to die is gain. If I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. What's 23? I am hard pressed between the two. I know what it's like to live for Christ. I want to live for Christ. I want to influence other people. I know how wonderful it is for me to be able to do that. But I'm really struggling with this living for Christ here and knowing the gain that's ahead of me. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ. Watch this. Which is far better than anything this old world has to offer. Did you hear what I said? Far better. And so as we live with these struggles, specifically the fear of death, it goes back to some of the comments that Mark made on examination and self-examination. The question really becomes this morning, am I ready to meet my Maker? See, a Supreme Court justice just died at the age of 87 from pancreatic cancer. She met hers. And you and I have to meet ours someday, sometime. And what a blessing it is to live here and live for Christ. But to know when I am ready, there's something far better. Would you experience the far better by being immersed and reaching the blood of Jesus? Would you experience the far better by reappropriating the blood of Christ and saying, I want to make my calling and election sure right now at this time, Brian, while we stand and sing?